Well, I feel a vote of confidence there. I'm telling you, here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome all those who will be watching by internet today with a wonderful hand of applause in his house. Again, for those of you who keep asking how my wrist is doing, it's still not working, but it's in a brace, and hopefully one day it will work. But I appreciate all of your prayers. Everything else is doing fine. I've healed up everywhere except my wrist, but I'm praying for it. And the thing that I tell everybody that is so frustrating is I can't choke anybody. And that's hard. You know, I mean, there are just times when just a good choke goes a long way, and I can't do that. And maybe that's the reason God's humbled me here, because I can't choke anybody. But I know that will come back one day. Not that any of you need me to choke you. Y'all look like you're wonderful, nice, gracious people. But anyway, it will work one day. I have all the confidence in the world. Give the Lord a hand of applause in his house. All right, Brother Larry, here we go. We're going to continue our series here on why is church attendance so important. This is a wonderful piece of scripture that a lot of people have studied and read, and we're going to look at it. We're going to pick it apart. We're going to see how it speaks to us today. Matthew chapter 16, beginning with verse 13, and we're going to go through verse 19. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, they're sitting down, maybe eating, maybe breaking bread, maybe they just got through eating. And he asked a question, look at it. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Good question. Bow your heads with me, please. So every head is bowed and every eye is closed. Father, in the precious and holy name of Jesus, may your word come alive on the page. Father, Jesus is going to speak some of the most powerful words. May we understand them. More than that, may we claim the victory today of what church is all about. Father, bless our church and our people. To those visiting with us today, as to those who are out for whatever reason, to our faithful congregation in attendance, may everything that we do bring glory to the kingdom of God. To those watching by internet, Father, may this message touch their lives and their hearts, that Father, they'll realize how important it is for them to attend church wherever they may live. Father, again, we thank you. We praise you. And may your word go forth today. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we pray. And everyone said, amen. Look at it. When Jesus came to the coast, he's over close to the coast. They're sitting down. He decides to ask them a question. And he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? This is a neat phrase. At this point in time, Jesus is in the flesh. This is a title that he gives himself. At this moment, as he becomes flesh, he becomes a man. He's the son of a man because he comes in this world through natural childbirth of a woman. It's important for you to understand, Jesus has to be in the flesh. Because you have to understand, folks, he is going to die later on in life. That death has to be the sacrifice made around the world, that the world could be changed. And that when people say, Jesus, come into my heart, there was a real man with real flesh, real blood, real bones, real sacrifice, real pain, real suffering that died on that cross for you. He was the Son of Man. He's coming back, the Son of God. Give a hand of applause in his house. They said, just talking out loud, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, one of the prophets. What is the key to all of this right here? They're all what? Dead. Even John the Baptist by this time is dead. So some of them think, you know, they're comparing him to some good guys here. Old Testament. Of course, we didn't have the New Testament at the time, but current, John the Baptist. All these people were good guys. Inspired by God. Basically, they said, you know, he's like a prophet. He's like a prophet. Now, on the surface, that sounds good to be compared. But then he's going to ask another question. He says, you're telling me what everybody else says. I want to know what you think. He saith unto them, this is a personal question. Look at it. But whom do you say that I am? There comes a point in time when you've got to decide for yourself who Jesus is. I want you to listen to me very, very closely. Let me take you a little deeper in Scripture. There's a reason why Jesus asked this of this group, because he needed to make sure that they knew, because he knew exactly in a moment what was going to take place and what Peter was going to say. But he wants to make them think. They've seen a lot by this time, but do they still know who Jesus is all about? There comes a point in time where Jesus is going to ask you, who do you think I am? What am I to you? Now this is where, in a moment when he talks about the church, this is where the church comes in, because as a church we need to be challenging our people. Really, really, truly, what is Jesus to you? What is he? Who is he? It's a good question. And one of these days, listen to me closely, one of these days, everybody's going to have to answer it. Hopefully you've already answered who Jesus is in your life. He is your Savior. Give the Lord a hand of applause in his house. Now I want you to look here. Now there's a lot written about Peter. Peter got in more trouble than any of all the other disciples put together, but he also said some amazing things. Because he talked all the time. If you talk all the time, the odds are eventually you're going to say something right. Now that's some real good psychology there, folks. I threw that out free. I am not charging you a dime for that. Some of you talk a lot, don't you? And on occasions you say something right, don't you? Well, maybe not often, but on occasions. Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. See this phrase? Why is this so important? Peter's going to take him from this to this. He's going to take him from this to this. That's a giant step in one's what? Faith. A lot of people see him as a prophet. A lot of people see him as a good person. A lot of religions said he was a good guy. There's a difference between being a good man and being the Son of the living God. Once you see this, why is Jesus going to get so excited? Because in a minute, Jesus is going to get excited. From this to this, took something out of the realm of Peter's thinking. Because in a moment when we turn the Scripture over, Jesus is going to say, Peter, you're not that smart. Yeah, that's cruel, isn't it? Anybody ever told you you're not that smart? Has your spouse ever told you that you're not that smart? Have your children told you you're not that smart?
Oh, yeah.
Has anybody told Larry? Am I doing that?
You're doing something I'm not.
When we're off camera, Larry, I'll deal with you. Okay? All right. What we have to understand here is Jesus is going to say something to Simon. Is this better? Good. So I'm getting too close to that. You want to turn the camera back this way just a second? Yes, folks, we don't edit this. This is live. Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." All right, Brother Larry, let's go. Oh, this is going to get exciting. "And Jesus answered and said unto him," him being Peter, him being personal, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Peter, I know you don't really realize what you just said, but what you just said is going to be the keys to everything that I'm going to do, everything I'm about, everything I'm going to die for, everything I'm going to rise for, and everything I'm coming back for, in one statement. He said, "You didn't think of this on your own, but here's where it came from. But my Father, which is in heaven, revealed it to you because you're right. I am the Son of the living God. And because I am the Son of the living God, I'm getting ready to show you and tell you what I'm getting ready to do." Now folks, this is why this is going to get real excited in a moment. Just try to hold back your excitement. Because you can see the scripture before I get to it, you know what's coming. Because let me tell you this, and you listen to me closely, the gates of hell are trying to destroy you in heartbeat where you're sitting right now. But where you're sitting right now is on holy ground. Why? "And I say unto thee, thou art Peter." When you look into the Greek and read this into the Greek, and believe me, I took plenty of tests on this many, many years ago. In the Greek, Peter means a little rock. Keep this in mind. "And upon this rock," because a lot of people interpret this that it's going to be based upon Peter that the church is going to be built. That's not what it says. It says, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." This rock is, in the same Greek, a huge boulder. Not some little pebble. This church is not being built on Peter. It's being built on the confession of Peter that thou art Christ, the huge rock, the big rock, the main rock, that I will build my church. "And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Here's what this means, and listen to me closely. Jesus is the rock. He is the foundation. He's what we build, and the church should be in a building program. Building means we're never done. We're never finished. We're never satisfied. We're building, we're building, we're building. "And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Why is that important? Because the gates of hell will come after God's people in full force. When you're in church, when you're in God's house, when you're built upon the boulder, the rock of your salvation, the rock of ages, it shall not come up against you in any way, shape, or form. Give the Lord a hand of applause in His house. That's why church is important. That's why coming to church is important. Because you are coming to the rock. And people will argue with me, "Are you saying Jesus is only in church?" No. And don't try to challenge that. Don't try to bring up something that is totally different. God is everywhere. Jesus is everywhere. The Holy Spirit is everywhere. But God's Word says that we are to come to the rock. We are to come to church. We are to come to assemble ourselves so that we can be together so that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Against what? This building? No. Let me tell you something. A storm could destroy this building. There's been many churches destroyed. Building-wise, That's not what Satan's coming after. He's not coming after this building. He's coming after you. You're what he wants to destroy. It's his gates that he wants to open up so that you walk right through it and get destroyed. When you look at gates, gates means it's an entrance. You got to get in. You got to go in. If you come to church, you come through a door. There's gates and there's a door to Satan's home too. We call it hell. See, he wants you in that home. He wants you in that sanctuary. Not in God's sanctuary. God and Satan are on two different planes and two different places. What they care about is two different things. The problem is when you don't come to church and you don't put importance in it, you don't witness for that because it doesn't seem to care. And if you don't care, how are you going to be able to invite someone else to church? When we walk in these doors, as I said last week, and we drive our cars up here and we write our checks and we maintain this place and we come here, there's a reason for it. We come here to learn. We come here to participate. We come here to have fellowship. But the very most important thing that we do to keep these doors open is to come to present the gospel to anybody who walks in this door. That is the number one reason why we come. Satan doesn't really care how much fellowship we have. He don't care how much we hug each other, kiss on each other, all that kind of stuff. He don't even care how much money you give to this place. But what he don't want, it goes on in any church across this globe, is the gospel. The gospel. The gospel. Jesus was born. Jesus lived. Jesus died. Jesus arose. Jesus is coming again. He don't want that. He don't want that at all. And if that's being preached in a church, he don't like it. He don't like the gospel. He tries to tear down the gospel. But here's what Jesus said. He said, upon this rock, this foundation, the belief that Jesus is the Son of God, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, this last verse, I'm going to explain it to you in detail because so many people get this confused. I want you to see it. I want it to come alive on the page. Because what is next is a total, complete job of any church that is a gospel-believing church across this globe. And these two verses go together. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys. The keys. The keys. What does a key do? A key opens something. A key starts something. A key also can lock something. I am going to give you permission. Because I'm going to build a church among these 12 men that's going to go around the world. And I'm going to give you the keys to do something. This is the beginning of the understanding because the keys have been given to you and I as well. What do we do with these keys? Are these keys welcome to everybody? Because what do these keys do? Because let me tell you something real closely. You're not going to get into the kingdom of God without a key. And that key is Jesus Christ. We as a church, when we tell the gospel, we're handing out keys. And the only way to get the keys is to come through what? Jesus. I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven. And here's what's going to happen. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. What's that mean? And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now let me tell you, volumes of books have been written on this, and there's a lot of people confused on what this means. But this is really the full function of the church. When I walk you through this, I want you to listen. I want you to listen. Because this is what we are about as a church, and this is why it's important. Whatsoever thou bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. The keys that they're going to give to the disciples that they're going to take around the world and the globe as we look in Acts and as Paul gets involved in it. How do you hand out keys? You've got to have the possession of the keys to do that. If I want you to drive my car, I've got to give you the keys to it, don't I? If I'm going to let you drive, I got to give you keys. If I'm going to let you in my home, I got to give you the key. I got to open up the door. Make sense so far? Say amen. He has the power to open the door, and He's given us the power to show the door and open it up for other people. It's called the gospel. It's called the church. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth. To bind something. Tie it up. Bring it together. Wrap it up. When you walk this aisle and give your life to Jesus, I've said this story many, many times. If I can get this off. When He comes and grabs a hold of you, you've accepted Him, you believe in Him, He's grabbed a hold of you. You've been bind. Where are we at? We're on earth. Why is this important? Because the decision that I make to follow Jesus in this place is going to take me where? You with me so far? Most important people, if you don't understand this. He's saying when you present the gospel to the world, when they accept Jesus Christ, that's their key to heaven. When we preach the gospel, when we put it on the internet, when we put it around the world, when you come in this doors, you give your tithe, you give your offering, you come in here, you say it's important. We preach the gospel. You invite people here. They walk this aisle. They accept Jesus Christ. They've accepted Him into their hearts, and Jesus has grabbed onto them. And believe me, He's never, ever going to let go. Woo! Now, this next thing is just as important. And a lot of people have been confused about this. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Let me tell you, before Jesus has a hold of you, something else has a hold of you. It's called Satan. And all of this takes place in one process. At the moment that I accept Jesus Christ and He hangs on to me, He cuts Satan loosed from my life. Cuts it there permanently. He's cut Satan off my back, in my heart, in my decision making, in everything that I do. He and He alone has the power. He's the only one that can do it. And here's what He did. He gave them the keys to say, Satan, get away. When you walk this aisle and you give your life to Jesus, this church has the power to say, you no longer belong to Satan. We've cut the cord. You've now been hugged by God. Satan no longer has power over you. Satan no longer is wrapped around you. We've cut him off. Cut him loose. He's gone. He's out of your life. He has no more control over it. And you have been forgiven. You now belong to Jesus and God. And when this is done on earth, it means He's never going to be able to get me where? In heaven. How powerful is that? How powerful is that? And it's not that any preacher does it, any Sunday school teacher does it, any one of you does it, but it's because we have a church. He set up the mission of the church to bind and to cut. Cut Satan, hug Jesus. Cut Satan off, hug Jesus. Bring him into your life. That's what the church is about. That's the gospel. And when our doors is open, whether we got 10 people here or 10,000, that's what any church across this globe is supposed to be doing. That's why it's important for you to be here, because more than likely at some point in time in your life, that's what happened to you. You invited Jesus into your life. He hugged you. And at the same time He hugged you, He cut Satan out of your life. Give God a hand of applause. Do you understand it? Do you see what it's about? Hell wants to destroy it, but can't. He wants to destroy the message, but he can't do it. Because the key is this. Jesus later on would go to a cross. And he would defeat Satan. Because in 3 days, he came out of that grave. And so help me with all that's within me as I understand God's Word. And I'm not the smartest man on the planet, not by no means. But I promise you, as I stand here, God's Word has been fulfilled. And He's coming. He's coming any day. And He's coming because the gates of hell one day are going to be shut down forever and ever and ever and ever. It's a promise you can take to the bank. If God is in your heart, He's bound you forever. And He's cut Satan out of your life. That doesn't mean that Satan still won't come back, try to nudge you, try to trip you. But let me tell you, folks, your soul is in the hands of God when you accept Jesus. No matter how many mistakes I make in life, what I do, what I say, by faith, I know my soul is in the hands of Jesus. And Satan can never, ever get his hands on it because he's been cut off, cut loose, to never again ever get his hands on me and you if you believe in Jesus. No truer words have ever been said in God's Word or across this internet, that Jesus loves you, cares for you, died for you, rose for you. And my prayer is, if you know Him today, soon He's coming for His people. God's Word. Give it a hand of applause. And would you stand with me, please, as every head is bowed and every eye is closed. Father, in the precious and holy name of Jesus, may You truly be with us in all that we do. Father, Your Word has gone out forward. But Father, may it not return void. There be one here today that is lost, that does not know You as Lord and Savior, that this truly may be the day when their life changes forever. And if you're watching by internet today, you can change your life. You can change it by just simply inviting Jesus into it. Confess that you are a sinner. Confess that you need Jesus. And I promise you, no matter where you may be or where you're at, Jesus will come into your life and change it. And change it for eternity. Upon this rock, I will build my church. May we claim that today. Father, we thank You for all that You are and all that You do. Bless these moments. Your presence is in this place. In Jesus' most precious and holy name we pray. As your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, would you come in the name of Jesus?